The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You're listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC Podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and Happy New Year to each and every one of you out there. This is Tony Lightfoot, and this is the next episode of the TWBC Podcast, and good to have you on board. And hope everything is going right with you, and certainly within about the last season or so, things have been heading in the right direction for one of the young top overall talents in all of the world. He comes to us from Germany, and he's actually talking to me now via our WhatsApp link from Santiago de Chile. So a big hello there to Mr. Tim Veld. How are you doing, sir?
Hi, Tony. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
No worries. Absolute pleasure to have you on. And you've certainly had a really, really, really good season to remember in 2025. I can tell you this much. I mean, I looked through some of the results for 2025 and did a comparison with 2024, and you've there was definitely a lot of improvement there, I have to say, and credit for you for making that happen.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, it was really an insane year. Kind of unplanned, because it was my first year going into under 21, so I wasn't really planning on doing a bunch of tournaments and really focusing on scores. Kind of like out of nothing happened to be amazing year, so I'm super stoked about that.
Okay, let's talk about that year, because I just so happened to have the list of your scores right in front of me, courtesy of the IWSF results website, and like you said, you hadn't done an awful lot of tournaments. I mean, save for the German National Championships, the Vienna Slalom Cup, and you did the Masters, the last Junior Masters that you're skiing, and we'll focus in on that for starters, because you actually created a little bit of history there on Robin Lake in the Junior Masters competition.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that was definitely one of the three main events this year. Or four, I guess. No, I mean, I was super stoked. I was going there hoping to win one, and then, you know, getting away with all four Junior Masters titles was just an insane experience.
Indeed. So, I mean, last season, 2025, didn't start all that auspiciously, because I mean, you went into the last chance qualifier and you got through that, but the Swiss Pro Tricks, I'm looking at the trick scores. I mean, you tricked over 9,000 points, which for a 10,000 point plus tricker is a little off the pace. So after that first tournament of the season, kind of what was going through your head as you were trying to try and lock down some consistency for the Masters qualifier that was to take place shortly afterwards, the Swiss Pro Trick over at Swiss?
Yeah, so Swiss Pro Tricks was like the first event of the year, and I was really debating if I should ski in it or not, because I'd only really started skiing this season like a week and a half or 2 weeks before that event. Hmm. So I was really unprepared going into it. Still playing around with new runs. And actually the run I did there, I don't think I did it again this season. Like, I completely switched it up. I was still kind of trying new things with the half jack and front flips, kind of playing around with those two tricks. And yeah, so I ended up not doing the half jack run that I did at the Swiss Pro, which, yeah, I guess was a good choice for the rest of the season.
Yeah. So what was your preparation like for that event? You know, because I mean, I'm just trying to get a a sense of comparison for what you were doing there the season before. I mean, that was the first time you skied in as Swiss Pro Tricks, and normally you've trained in the winter, not in Florida or anywhere else warm, like I don't know, like Santiago de Chile, which you're doing right now. You've got a couple more days before you have to leave back to Germany. But I mean, how intense was your preparation going into that first event of the season?
To be honest, I was really focusing on new tricks still. As I've been kind of all winter before that, I spent quite some time in Florida around Christmas last year, going from 2024 to 25. And I was still kind of in that prepping the run for the year and learning new stuff phase. And the focus was really on the LCQ. I think it was like the week after or 2 weeks later. So Swiss Pro was kind of like a tournament, but I wasn't really focusing on it at all. And the focus was really all on LCQs and trying to be ready by then, you know, making the final adjustments in that week between Swiss Pro and the LCQ.
Because I mean you skied in the last chance qualifiers, and I think you were already qualified per se for the junior masters based upon the scores that you brought in last season. And just trying to think whether you actually needed to actually go to the LCQs to qualify for the masters. But I mean you had some decent scores in the LCQ events. You got into 10.75. You tricked over 10 in one of those rounds, and you were jumping about mid 50 meter range, which wasn't at all bad to prepare for that first major of the year.
Yeah, 100%. I believe I was only qualified in jump for the Masters, so I still had to get my Solomon trick spot. Which, you know, I just wanted to do overall at the LCQ, get the overall spot, you know, kind of like get my ticket for all three to be safe. And then, yeah, so that was really the whole point of the LCQ. That's why I was jumping there, doing all three events. And then, of course, like, it's always good to have a couple tournaments before a big event, you know, get to know yourself a little better. Took about half a year off of tournaments, you know, it takes some time to get back into it, get used to that adrenaline again. So that's kind of the whole point, or that was the whole point of the LCQs this year.
Now, you did kind of raise a little point there in that response, you know, the importance of of resting between tournaments, because I know that there are skiers out there that run and gun from tournament to tournament, event to event, and I mean that, and they just don't stop until about November. And I'm going to highlight one particular event which you kind of went out of your way to not be a part of, and that was going to be the European Championships. But before we actually hit that hurdle a little bit. You obviously put a great emphasis upon competing in the overall. I mean, it's kind of like the veiled tradition, as it were, because, I mean, I don't know if anyone, if most of you know the audience tuning in on this podcast right now, but Tim's father is a former world junior overall champion from the middle part of the 1980s, and I know this because I was actually there seeing it front and center. It's Stefan Wild, you know. So how much advice, how much inspiration do you draw from your father, given the experience that he's had competing in overall and subsequently beyond the overall, competing at professional level in water ski jumping on the US Pro Tour?
A lot, to be honest. Like, it's really a big advantage to have someone like him around me, supporting me, who's been dealing with that pressure for like a couple, yeah, definitely like 20 or 30 years. And it's really helped me over the course of my career so far. you know, how to deal with pressure and so on. But to be honest, like around last year, I was almost feeling a little bit pressured by that, if that makes sense, because I feel like, okay, he was world champion. I kind of had the pressure to do that too.
Kind of heavy is the crown.
Exactly. And I had that last year, and this year I tried to completely forget about it and be like, okay, I do my skiing. I'm going to do whatever I need to do to be as good as I can. And yeah, that's kind of the mentality that I've had throughout the whole year. So I really see him as an inspiration, and not so much as pressure to perform, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely see that. And I mean, in terms of overall, you know, just being able to deal with the ups and the downs, you know, because I mean, I'm looking back at some of your results, not from last season, but the one before, you know, and there were some highs, but there were also some pretty significant lows. I mean, the European U21s over in Lackanel in 2024, and that was your last tournament of the season back then, you know, and right. Probably one that you want to forget, but obviously given that it happened, and I mean I'm referring to your slalom performance, which was way off par, you know, you just got to wave it off and just continue on with the plan, onwards and upwards.
Exactly. I feel like, see, sometimes tournaments like this and years where stuff doesn't go as planned, you don't exactly reach your goals, are often better than years where everything goes well, because it really helps you progress. And I know that if I have a bad year, the next year has a high chance of being a really good one, because I'm going to be motivated and hyped up, you know, to train in the winter. Not saying I'm not now, but it's just a bit of a different kind of motivation that you have going into winter and also summer skiing.
Okay, so your family isn't just about Stefan, obviously. You know, I mean, you've got a younger brother, Theo Wild, and your mother is a competitive water ski athlete herself. You know, so they know what it's like. They can offer some counsel, you know, from time to time. But I mean, how important have they been in terms of your development as one of the top skiers out there?
Very important. Again, it's to me, like, my parents have been putting a lot of emphasis of having the skiing as a family time, kind of doing it as a family sport. And I feel like that's really important. Like when I'm back home training in Germany, my mom's driving, my dad's coaching, and sometimes Theo's going to coach me in slalom and I'm going to coach him. It's a really cool kind of way of training, as a family. Is like, you know, we're a family. Theo's my brother, and everything. But when we get to the lake, we kind of see each other a little bit more as training partners. And, I feel like that's really important to have is someone like that can push you, help you just develop in a good way.
Okay, so what kind of coaching nugget, what kind of piece of coaching advice have you received from members of your family or even outside, you know, because you've trained with other coaches and that kind of thing, so you'll obviously tell me who that person or persons are. But what kind of coaching advice have you received that you've taken on board and said, this is a really, really good tip, I've got to remember this every time I go out?
So I mean, of course, there are things for every event, but I think something that I guess you should never forget is that really anything is possible that you put your mind to. And it's something so simple that people say so often, but it is one of the keys to being really good at something. And that's something I'm working on, is having like high goals, but also realistic goals. And if you really believe that you can do it, there's no way you're not going to make it. Or at least there's a higher chance of you making it. And that's really one thing that stuck with me over the last 2, 3, 4 years, that I hope will stick with me for my whole life. So
was a 68-meter jump. Was a 68-meter jump part of those plans?
Not quite, to be honest. So there's actually a funny story behind that that jump distance. So at the start of the year in the winter, I was really focused on jump, because I was like, okay, like switching up to 57. I know my jump style is more developed for higher speeds and not 51. I was like, okay, like this year I want to go far. So I put my lock screen on my phone. I put 210 on it. So that was kind of my goal for the whole season, is to jump 210 feet. And I don't know why it was that specific number. But every time I opened my phone, I saw that number 210. And, you know, then in the prelims of the Worlds, I did that. And then for the finals, I was just like, okay, just go out, have fun, do whatever you can, you know, just do the best you can and it'll all be good, you know?
No. Now, I mean, that jump of 68.1, it ended up being 223 feet, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I mean, in your wildest imagination, in the finals, I mean, this is the World Championships. This is like the tournament that everyone's all amped to perform. And I mean, you were watching jumps. And I mean, there was this guy Brandon Shippo who just stepped off a plane. Everyone knows this story by now, but just in case you haven't picked up on it, this guy just flew in, just stepped off the plane, strapped his jump skis on, took some jumps, you know, and he ended up getting the personal best and into the final, you know. So it's hard not to draw inspiration from that or encouragement, and like saying to yourself, well, if he can do it, then so the heck can I.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that was but really in that final, it was just like, okay, I'm gonna go out, and especially because I was also chasing that third place in overall, I was like, okay, I need to put some pressure on the guys behind me, so I'm just gonna go out. It's World's Finals. I'm just going to send it. And, you know, last jump, I was late, but in good position. I was like, okay, I'm just going to fully kick it. And, you know, everything ended up working out. So I couldn't be happy about that jump, really.
Yeah, and that and to get in the top three in overall was certainly took a great performance from you in the end. You know, I mean, you had to fend off a battle from the likes of Rob Hazelwood and Daniello Filchenko towards the end. But even though Daniello actually admitted on the dock that he just wasn't ready for that tournament. But whatever reason he gave, it was what it was, you know. But you managed to sneak onto the podium and capped off an absolutely tremendous season. It's not only that tournament as well with the World Championships, but also some of the other tournaments that you competed in, which kind of opened up some eyes, including the World U21 Championships, which you seem to have ignited between you and Jake Abelson. You've kind of set the scene now for an overall battle that could be one for the ages. You know, I mean, we're still in the land. We're still in the zone of Joel Poland and Louis Duplan Fribourg, and obviously Dorian Llewellyn winning the overall this year, but I mean. But I mean, right now, I mean, it's setting up for an overall battle for the ages coming up. You know, whenever those two decide to pack it up.
Yeah. Well, I think the world championships in Rochetto were kind of assigned to them. Like, hey, we're there, we're coming up. You know, we're coming to chase them, and. I really hope that, well, next World Championships we can compete with them, you know, be on a similar level, you know, have a good overall battle and see what the coming years you know have or will bring with them, you know.
Okay, all right then. What I'm gonna ask you, I mean, you're currently training right now over in Santiago de Chile. You've got a couple more days to go before you head back off to Germany. Now, training for the next season, for not this coming season 2026, but for 2027, is going to be complicated by the fact that the Worlds is actually going to be in February. Of that next season, and I think you're still eligible for one more U21 World Championships. Am I right on that one?
Yep, exactly. I'll be in where is it, in Peru again?
In Peru, yeah. So kind of. I mean, I know it's more than a year away now. So obviously, if you can put some planning together and going forwards, it's probably going to help. But I mean, are you planning that far ahead, or are you taking it a few tournaments at a time, a few months at a time, starting with 2026?
So I definitely already have my 2026 plan. Trying to do some more pro tour events, maybe some overall tour events, you know. And well, then I've already been thinking for 2027, especially when it comes to tricks, just learning as many new tricks as possible so I can all put them together in a run and, you know, just be as dangerous as possible for those Worlds.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, those World Championships, which is going to be in Mwala in February. You know, it's going to be a hike for quite a few folks. And I wanted to ask you a question. So far as you're training right now over in Santiago, you know, obviously you're trying to get a feel for extreme off-season training. You know, you're skiing in fairly warm climes right now. As a matter of fact, how warm is it right there in Santiago? Pretty hot right there right now.
Yeah, it's like 30 degrees Celsius. Don't ask me what that is in Fahrenheit. I have no idea. I'm really bad with
it's over 90 but, degrees.
Okay, but it is definitely really warm. Honestly, just perfect skiing conditions. We live at the house right at the lake. I mean, it's really a dream. It couldn't be better.
Okay, and how are you skiing right now? Is it fairly light sets? You know, just working on tricks, that kind of stuff, or are you going at it full tilt with the other two events as well? Are you trying to hit 70 meters jumping right now, or is this too early for any of that?
Definitely too early for that. To be honest, the jumpers are in Germany. I didn't even bring them here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just take some time off of jump. It was a big jump year, and you know, I have the most catching up to do in tricks, so that's what I've been doing, just grinding in tricks, doing as many sets as possible, learning a lot of things, you know. It's been long sets and just a lot of time on the water.
Yep. Nothing beats on water time wherever you can get it, whether it be in Germany or whether it be in Santiago de Chile. But let's turn back the focus to your training in Germany. You know, because I mean, I saw videos of you training in Germany some time ago. So obviously you've changed a little bit so far as your training strategy is concerned. At least from the addition of skiing in South America, but once you return to Germany, is it going to be like weights in the gym and cardiovascular and all of that kind of stuff and no on water time, or will there still be enough room for you to take to the cable park? You know, because I mean, I don't know if any of the audience know, but your father actually owns a cable park somewhere in Bavaria in Germany. Is that right?
Yep, exactly. It's called Wide Wake Park, and I love this place. Honestly, I really don't spend enough time there in the summer. It's a really cool spot, you know, just for me to hang out, go out, do some wakeboarding. It's just a fun change to skiing. But in terms of the winter training, it's mainly gonna be weights. Like, I started to work with a personal coach, Steven Sorrentio. He's actually from Florida, and he's amazing. I mean, we've been working on a lot of different things. If it's heavy weights, explosive stuff, it's been a good time until now. And the plan is to keep grinding in the gym, keep lifting, and hopefully start skiing again. Maybe end of February, beginning of March, something around that time.
Okay, excellent. And so you do a little bit of wakeboarding. How important is it to actually enjoy the lighter side of this sport? You know, because I know that there are skiers out there that are pretty intense. They're all about the grind, you know, and they don't leave an awful lot of room to actually have some fun with what they have at their disposal. And you seem to embrace that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I know that I'm not gonna get be a millionaire from skiing. So for me, the most important thing, the reason I do this is because I just enjoy doing it. I love being on the water. I love jumping, tricking, slaloming, everything about it. So that's really the plan, or that's my goal, you know, to have fun in the water. If it's learning tricks or just doing, you know, the classic Joel Poland warm-up passes, or sometimes even just go out on a wakeboard or barefoot, like just do a bit of everything, you know, that's what really matters at the end of the day.
And obviously you continue to excel in the overall, you know, in most of the tournaments that you keyed in on were the overall variety. Before I ask you about the overall tour, which is out there, and I mean, I'm sure that the likes of Dorian and Louis and Joel Poland are probably waiting for you to kind of make your debut on the overall tour. But before we focus in on that, you missed one key event in the middle of the summer, the European Championships, which took place in Salmsee, which is just outside of Linz in Austria. And want to find out what was the thinking behind that one, because you skied a week later at the European Under 21 Championships over at Wiener Wasser Ski Club, International Wiener Wasser Ski Club.
So basically, we were just getting back from Calgary, and I believe the official practice would have been on Tuesday or Wednesday. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's around that time. Plus the tournament in Vienna was also during the week. We weren't skiing the whole weekend. I think the tournament ended on Friday or Saturday. So it was just a lot of tournaments, you know. I was getting, it would have been Calgary, you know, U21 Worlds, Open Europeans, and then Under 21 Europeans, and the week after Open Worlds. It would have just been too much. So I just came home from the U21 Worlds, you know, relaxed a little bit, took like 1 or 2 days off, and then went back to training.
Yep, and you trained hard, and that. That tournament over there at the European U21s was the first time that you'd actually jumped over 60 meters, and I'm sure that everyone that I know that has jumped beyond that kind of levels, 60 meters or 200 feet or what have you, whichever they place more value on. But I mean, no doubt that jump in the first round of 61.6 meters, I'm sure you'll remember for quite a long time to come.
Yeah, 100%. To be honest, I was kind of expecting it. I mean, I was jumping pretty well the week before in Lacano. I had the 2 weeks between under 21 worlds and under 21 Europeans to go up in speeds from 54 to 57. And I was jumping really far in Lacano and where I was training. And, you know, I was going over 200 feet pretty much every day. So I was going to Vienna kind of expecting to go 200. And then it ended up happening, which was amazing. So, yeah, that was also a great tournament for me.
So what's the secret sauce? Come on, tell us what the secret sauce is. You know, from being able to jump barely in the mid 50s to jumping nearly 70 meters in the space of about five, six, seven, eight tournament rounds of jumping.
I mean, it's like I told you before. It's really about that having that goal in your mind and just. For me personally, it's just wanting to be as good of a water skier as I possibly can. That's my biggest goal. It's not, I don't know, some specific score or a specific title. It's really about just my personal challenge of being as good as I can be, and also being patient. I mean, I kind of put my jump style together in a way that would work out at 57. Not so much at 51, 54. So that was kind of hard accepting that I wasn't going to go really far in junior years, but that it would be better once I get to open speeds, which definitely worked out. So I'm really glad that I made or set up my plan like this. I guess if you want to call that secret sauce, I guess that would be it.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And I mean, the person that we haven't mentioned yet too much, and I mean, and I'm glad that you mentioned Lacano Christophe Duverger is one of your coaches, isn't that right?
Exactly. Yeah, him and Matt Rini are my main coaches. And honestly, I love skiing with them. Christophe, I did almost all the tidal events with him, and he's been amazing, you know, to work with, not only on the skiing side, but also on the mental side. And same for Matt. I mean, I love skiing with Matt in Florida. He has some great stuff to say. And, you know, whenever something's not going well, I just go see Matt or just give him a little call, and everything's pretty much good after. So really, if you want to know that secret sauce, you should probably ask Matt, not me.
Okay. Indeed. I probably will ask him. I probably will talk to him at some stage in the future, maybe before the season starts. But I mean, but between Christophe and Matt, is there anything that is different about their approaches or to coaching from a mental or physical aspect to tournament skiing, or are they pretty much in lockstep with each other in terms of coaching you or indeed anyone else of a similar ilk?
See, they are similar and different at the same time. So when it comes to technique, it's just, you know, every coach is gonna want you to do the same thing in some way, and they'll just phrase it differently. And that's really one thing with Christophe and Matt. I mean, they're both amazing coaches and want the same end result, but are going to get you there in a bit of a different way and say the exact same stuff, just a bit differently. And then sometimes that's enough to make it click and be like, oh, okay, now I got it. And, you know, then it just works perfectly. So that's a pretty big deal, I guess. But no, in general, they want the same things. They're on the similar standpoint or point of view when it comes to all three events, actually.
Indeed, indeed. So as we look forward a little bit into the 2026 season, are there any tournaments that you're kind of eyeing up? Because it's kind of like one of those empty seasons a little bit. I mean, you're out of eligibility for the U17 World, so you're not going to be in Argentina. Is Tio going to be in Argentina?
Yeah, 100%. He's here in Chile with me. He's grinding. You know, he's only Salming, but he's trying out some stuff, working on a bunch of things to get ready for Argentina.
Okie dokie. So obviously he's going to be there. You're not going to be there. But what tournaments are you planning on going to in the year that is 2026?
So not that many at the start of the season, because I'm actually graduating from school this year, which might seem a little late, but we have 13 years of high school in Germany. So I'm only graduating this year. So I'll have a bunch of exams around that master's phase, which is why I can't go there this year. But then I'm already looking into 2027, and I have of course, the Nautique Tour. Gonna be skiing at the Botas Pro-Am, and I will leave the California Pro-Am as well, you know, and then kind of go from there. And then, of course, we have the European Championships under 21 in Germany, which is definitely a big highlight of my season.
I'm sure it will be.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, for the rest of it, I'm kind of trying to get to do some pro tour events, if it's Water Ski Pro Tour or the World Water Skiers Overall Tour, just, you know, trying to dive into it a little bit, do a couple events on both, and you know, then really start getting more on tours next year in 2027.
Are you gonna try and shut it down a little bit early on in the 2026 season to kind of give your body enough time to rest and get ready for 2027, because that's when the World Championships and the U21 World Championships will take place in the early part of 2027.
Yeah, 100%. So I think I'm going to stop doing tournaments, you know, like end of September, mid-September, around that time, and then take a bit of time off so I can start again, you know, relatively fresh. To get ready for the U21 Worlds and Open Worlds next year.
Indeed, indeed. And we're certainly looking forward to that. And no doubt you'll be looking forward to being out of school entirely. We haven't really talked about that too much. But, I mean, we don't know too much about how you fit in being a high school student. I mean, tell us a little bit about that, and I'm sure that your schoolmates at high school know of what you do, and I'm sure it's probably been documented in the media. You've probably been on Deutsche Welle or some German sports channel on a fairly frequent basis, you know, so they know what you're doing.
Yeah, 100%. So to be honest, it's been pretty easy to get out of school. Our principal is really understanding when it comes to sports, because his two kids are also into high level sports. I think it's swimming and basketball.
Wow.
And so you know, he knows what athletes need, and so he always says, as long as I have good grades, he's gonna let me get out of school as much as I want, which I've definitely been able to accomplish that in the last couple of years. So that's definitely been one of the key aspects of my water ski career until now.
and Armenia in high school. Do you harbor any aspirations to go into college or university? Have you kind of nailed down a little bit where you want to go, or is that decision still very much up in the air?
I made a bit of a plan. Personally, the best thing would be to study online from Europe, because there is a pretty good online university about an hour and a half away from where I live in Bavaria, and they offer online courses especially for athletes.
Oh,
so that's ideal for me, and you know, I could be away skiing and not have to be in school, just there to take exams. So that's my dream for the next, I guess, 4 or 5 years. So
of course
I'm gonna try to make that happen.
Yeah, and of course I mean your options are open. You could do your undergrads in Germany at this online sports university that you mentioned, and then if you want to take graduate studies, you could probably transfer those credits into a postgrad program, maybe, I don't know, Rollins College in the middle central Florida. You know, if you want to pursue that route, has that kind of crossed your mind in that respect? You know, because Rollins comes highly recommended, you know, from a number of high level world water skiers. You know, Matt Reaney actually went to Rollins College. I know that Hannah, a person you certainly know of, is there right now. You know, so if they try to sell you on that score,
yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, Hannah's there, so I've been to Rollins a couple times. I've been to class with her actually, and. Also, you know, Charlie Ross, there was a period of time where he was texting me and was like, come on, Tim, you need to come to Rollins. We need you here. But no, to be honest, for now, the best thing I can do for academically and, you know, for my skiing too is really to be in that online university in Germany. And then maybe I'll see, maybe I'll come to the US, do a master here. You know, I haven't thought that far yet, but for the next couple of years, I think I'll stay in school in Germany.
Yeah, and of course, your options are open. You could even take on a doctorate. You know, Matteo Lizzeri, he has a doctorate in sports psychology, much like Stina Sundergaard, a person who I believe you know of from Denmark. You know, so. You could be a doctor. Given how high achieving you are right now, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, 100%. I haven't quite decided on what I'm gonna do in the future yet, but yeah. So that's kind of my plan going forward, and now I'll see how the whole skiing thing is going, and go from there.
Okay, all right then. So we'll put a button on that. Thanks a lot, Tim Wild from Germany, the current world number 3 in men's overall. But before we terminate this podcast, is there anything you'd like to say or give acknowledgements or thanks to those that you believe deserve it?
100%. So big thanks to my whole family, my parents, my brother, grandparents in France and in Germany. Also, my girlfriend Hannah, for just supporting me the whole year. It was a great year training with her and, you know, a bunch of friends, in Florida and in Europe. And then thanks to my sponsors, HO, Reflex, those people helped me out a lot and wouldn't be possible without them. And of course, last but not least, my coaches. We mentioned them before, Matt and Christoph and Cole Grand, of course. They play a huge role, and I really wouldn't be here without them, without their amazing advice.
And you know, a thing that has crossed my mind a little bit during the course of this podcast interview, is we need to come up with a good nickname for you, and I think it's and I think a good one is 100% wild.
Yeah, I do say that a lot.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Yeah, I've noticed that, and yeah, I'm putting claim to that one. Okay, so no one else out there tried to steal it, but Tim, it's been an absolute pleasure interviewing you for this edition of the TWBC podcast, and more episodes will be coming in the future. So until then, this is Tony Lightfoot saying ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.